Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion with Logan Hargold from Covenant Church. It's great to be sitting down again this afternoon and opening up the Word. Hope you've had a fantastic day of isolation or work or looking after the kids, whatever it seems to be that you're doing. Well, it's a joy to be able to open up the Word together, isn't it? To be able to turn back to the Book of Lamentations again, to chapter 5. And while you're turning there, just a brief announcement for those of us who are a part of our church. We're going to be still having an Easter Friday service. We'll have a special Good Friday service. It'll just be live streamed as just like everything else is at present. So that's that weekend. We'll have the Friday and then the two services on the Sunday to celebrate Easter. Obviously, there won't be any communion, which will it probably goes without saying, but just in case you weren't 100% sure. Either way, let's open up the Word of God this afternoon. We're going to turn to the Book of Lamentations. We're going to be looking at the last chapter of Lamentations. And on that note, I've got a couple of ideas of where we might go next, but if there's a particular book that you've always been interested in and always struggled with, or maybe just really wanted to hear someone unpack, feel free to flick some suggestions through to me. I'd love to hear from you, and maybe we can work through one of those books as well. But let's just come and pray first. Father in heaven, it's good to be together again, even if it's across the internet. We pray that you would give us much wisdom this afternoon, that you would help us to understand your word. We pray that you would encourage us, that you would build us up, that you would show us more of the beauty of Jesus, more of the glory of God, more of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that we might commune with the triune God through your word. Lord, be with all of the listeners wherever they are, that they might find joy in your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, we have the opportunity, as I said, to turn to the last chapter of Lamentations. So if you want to open that up, we're going to be reading through the whole chapter again this afternoon. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We have become orphans, fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. We must pay for the water we drink. The wood we get must be bought. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are weary. We are given no rest. We have given the hand to Egypt and to Assyria to get bread enough. Our fathers sinned and are no more, and we bear their iniquities. Slaves rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the peril of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven with the burning heat of famine. Women are raped in Zion, young women in the towns of Judah. Princes are hung up by their hands. No respect is shown to the elders. Young men are compelled to grind at the mill, and boys stagger under loads of wood. The old men have left the city gate, the young men their music. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. For this our heart has become sick. For these things our eyes have grown dim. For Mount Zion, which lies desolate, jackals prowl over it. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us, and you remain exceedingly angry with us. So far, the reading of God's word. I wonder how you would like the book of Lamentations to finish. If you were to write the fifth chapter, what would you love to put in there? How would you like it to end up finishing? You know, it's interesting because in so many of the Lamentations in the Bible, if you look through the Psalms, so many of them finish on a high note. They finish with the psalmist rejoicing, or the psalmist being delivered, or reflecting after the fact on it, and so seeing it from a different perspective. But we don't really get that picture in this psalm, in this lamentation, do we? Lamentation 5, you know, I guess it would have been lovely if it ended a little bit like the center of chapter 3. Do you remember those amazing words in chapter 3, verse 22? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And you think, hurrah, wouldn't it be just wonderful if that was the finishing note? But is that what Jeremiah does at the end of the book? How does Jeremiah wrap up this book? You know, we think of Ecclesiastes, for those of you who have read it before, and at the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, well, after I've considered everything, the end of the matter is fear God. And these, in a sense, this chapter, the way it's written, is like Jeremiah summarizing all of his lamentation. He takes everything he said, and in this chapter, he crams it all in. What do I mean by that? Well, firstly, notice the what he calls God to. He calls God to remember them. You see, although this is lamentation, it's not just lamentation expressing purely grief alone. It's lamentation with hope, isn't it? We've seen that the whole way through, all the way through the book. It's been Jeremiah expressing hope through lamentation, through suffering, through expression of pain. And that doesn't stop here. Jeremiah is going to call God to remember them, to look at them, and to see their disgrace. To recognize the reality of the suffering that they're going through. And through this chapter, he lists off some really atrocious things, doesn't he? Some really sad things, some real brokenness, real sorrow, real pain. And so, verse 3, we've become orphans. Verse 4, we're thirsty. We have to pay for water. Verse 5, we have pursuers. Verse 6, we reached out to neighbors. They didn't help us. Verse 7, we're sinful. Verse 8, even slaves rule over us. Verse 9, we're hungry. Verse 10, we're in famine. Verse 11, our women are abused. Verse 12, our leaders and elders are despised. Verse 13, our young men are nothing but slaves. Verse 14, the old men who used to sit in the gate wisely have gone. The young men have left their music. And hear the sorrow of verse 15. The joy of our hearts has ceased. You hear the sorrow of that? The joy of our hearts has ceased. Everything that caused us joy has been taken away from us. Jeremiah is saying, God, look. Look and see our sorrow, our brokenness, our shame, our disgrace. Look at what has befallen us. And yet, like we saw in other chapters, he recognizes their sinfulness, doesn't he? He recognizes that it's a result of their sin that this has taken place. But hear the stunning hope and assurance that Jeremiah has in this chapter. You see, he calls God to look. But look where he finishes. He says, God, look at our situation. And then in verse 19, he says, but. So all of this has befallen us. Look at our sorrow. This is reality. This is what has happened. We're sorrowful. We're broken. We're hurting. We're slaves. We're in a foreign land. We've got no leaders. We don't know what's going to happen. But. I love buts in the Bible like this. Think of Ephesians 2. But God being rich in mercy. And here, but you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. See, what Jeremiah is saying is, look, this is reality for us right now. The real reality, Yahweh is on the throne. God is on the throne. And the language he uses here, the throne type language, the Lord reign forever. His throne endures to all generations. It's not just the idea of a far away God ruling somewhere, but it's a God reigning over creation and over everything, over the Babylonians, over the Israelites, over the Egyptians. And so you can see the instant application for that for us, can't you? The Lord is saying, I am reigning now. It could be very tempting for us, can't it? As we sit here and we see the media and as we see the news and we see little governments running around doing different things and people making decisions and people making plans and trying to figure out what to do and churches and pastors and elders trying to figure out how to make all of this work, and we can be tempted to start thinking very man-focused. You see, that's the story of the first majority of this chapter, isn't it? As you look around on a physical, man-centered focus, you're filled with despair. But as you begin to lift up your eyes and gaze to God, you see a completely different story. You see a high and lifted up king sitting on his throne, sovereignly in control. The one through whom all things were made. The one through whom all things move and have their being, the New Testament tells us. And it's Jesus Christ, isn't it? Jesus is sitting on the throne. Jesus ascended. Jesus is there. And so right now, what we need to do is stop looking around us at the sorrow and the brokenness and start looking at Jesus. Because it's only as we start to see Christ upon the throne that we begin to have peace. And Jeremiah says, why do you forget us forever? You see, as he takes his eyes off the world and down here, and he starts looking up there, he remembers that there's a God who acts. You know, and it's a little bit like that picture you get in Revelation. You remember there's that moment in Revelation where we gaze under the throne of God, and under the throne of God are this group of martyrs. And you remember what they cry out? They cry out, how long, O Lord? How long? How much longer are you going to delay? When will you end the sorrow? And God says, when the full number have been gathered in, In other words, when the work is finished, when my work is complete. And you know, we have an assurance here. We have an assurance that the Lord will not forget the world. Though it looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket, as people say, the Lord will not forget us forever. We have hope in that. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Though this body waste away, yet I have hope in God, because He holds me. He reigns forever. And therefore our plea is the same as Jeremiah, isn't it? Verse 21, restore us to yourself, O Lord. You see, honestly, who cares if we get the coronavirus? I mean, what difference does it really make? What we really need to think about is, are we restored to God? Will we be restored to God in this life and in the one to come? Let's set our eyes upon God. Grieve with all of our heart, as Jeremiah does. I mean, grieve. Pour out your heart to God. Lament with all of your heart. But set your mind on things above, not on things below. For Christ is all sufficient, all wonderful, all beautiful, and no matter how long you have lived and will live in this life, you will never be able to say, Christ has been unloving to me. That's our hope. He reigns forever, and He will restore us to Himself. Let's pray. God, we thank You that even in the deep sorrow of a lament, there is hope in Christ. And Lord, we pray that You would lift up our eyes towards Yourself, that we would stop focusing ourselves down here, but we would see You seated up upon a throne. Thank You that You never leave us or forsake us. Thank You that you love us more than we love ourselves, more than we could ever comprehend. And we pray with Paul that You would help us to begin to comprehend the width and the depth and the length and the height of the love of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us again this afternoon. What a pleasure it is. I say us, it's just me in the room, but I guess it's us. Depends how you interpret that. But it's great to be together, sitting around the Word. This is a bit odd, but it's a great way to spend our day, isn't it? We've been given extra time, and I don't know about you, but I'm finding it very encouraging digging into the Word together. And as I say, if you've got any requests for any books to go through or any topics to deal with, I'm quite happy to have a look at most things. So flick something through to me in a message and we can have a chat about it. Well, the Lord's richest blessings to you all. And we'll see you all tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 once more. God bless. Gracious Savior of my ruined life, my guilt and cross laid on Your shoulders, in my place You suffered, bled and died. You we
bring glory to.